Hello again, and welcome to Agents of Providence, where the idea is that we live and move in the world in ways that try to make our lives, the planet, even the universe, a better place. We do so not out of any idea that we have great superpowers, but simply by setting our intentions toward love, grace, and justice, that we become agents of that kind of providence that makes the world into the place where everyone is valued, loved, and welcomed. I am Doyle Burbank Williams. I am the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. I am also a visual artist, and that I see my task here as being one to give occasions for some thought, to encounter some ideas that maybe traditional interpretations haven't gotten to, of finding ways of making these ancient texts that we still value as followers of Christ relevant and engaging and maybe even inspiring in this modern day and age. We are well into the Lenten season for those of us following the liturgical calendar. And at New Visions, we've been using some material from a group called A Sanctified Art, and you can find them online. They do some pretty wonderful stuff. Anyway, their Lenten materials for this year are entitled Seeking: Honest Questions for Deeper Faith. And so we've been asking those kinds of questions. And now we are here at the fifth Sunday of Lent. And the question asked is, will these bones rise? Now, in their materials, they use both the passage from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones, where the human one, who at this point is Ezekiel, is asked, can these bones rise? Can this dead valley come back to life? And that might be a footnote or a piece of background for some of my thoughts this morning, but I'm going to be focusing on the gospel passage, which I will be using from John's gospel, chapter 11, verses 17 through 45. So let's listen to that. John 11, 17 through 45. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, They followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled, and he asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much he loved him?" But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the one born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again and came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Around 400 days ago, Russia invaded Ukraine. Since then, there have been horror stories of the war's atrocities. Every night, even our own news has some new devastation to report. And now, the Sunday after the invasion, we at New Visions United Methodist Church began to sing a prayer for peace, Dona Nobis Pacem. And we have sung it every week. Grant us peace. Grant us peace. Grant us peace. Now, as I record this, reports are coming in that Poland will send warplanes to Ukraine and Slovakia then joining them. Quite honestly, I don't know how this is not considered a world war with all of the factions swirling around. Reports persist that China and Iran are moving to send support and weapons to Russia. And it seems that the strains of Dona Nobis Pacem get lost in the howling winds of war. Will it do any good? Has it done any good? Will peace, I mean really peace, not just the cessation of violence, will peace ever truly be granted? I have to admit that for me, Dona Nobis Pacem has begun a bit of a prayer of confession. You know, as I ask for peace, I wonder what else have I really done to bring peace into the world? How can I sing that prayer with integrity when all the evidence in the world almost screams that peace is unrealistic? Christianity at its foundation is a hope that life is stronger than death. The resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate sign of this, but too many times we think that Jesus is the only sign of this. But I believe that Jesus shows us the life within us and draws that life out into the world. This story of Lazarus is the paramount parable of this. Neither Jesus nor Lazarus is an exception. Jesus raises Lazarus because all of us can rise to a new life. Death in this world is real. And giving in to death, even for 4 days, creates a stench in our souls. Jesus cries in the face of death, even though John's gospel portrays him as knowing everything that's about to happen. Still, the story is told to tell us that Lazarus can leave the tomb behind. I love that Jesus tells the people to free Lazarus from his grave clothes and set him free. Well, there was one time I met a woman at a senior citizen camp. I was just a fresh-faced counselor way back then. While she had fun that week, it seemed like she was kind of under a cloud. In conversations around the tables, her story kind of came out in disjointed pieces. There were things she was very good at. She loved arranging flowers. She had a lovely singing voice. And she had a good head for business. But as good as she was at all those things, she had set them aside to be what she was told a good wife was supposed to be. The faith she grew up in told her that a woman's biggest sin was pride. She was supposed to be humble and support her husband's endeavors, never seeking any attention or acclaim for herself. All her dreams and passions became secondary, even tertiary. So here in her golden years, she felt, well, kind of dead, like she'd given her life away to others. Her husband, who was also at the camp, had never known any of this about her. Each week of camp ended with a talent show on the last night, and this camp was no different. Though she had declined to sign up for the show, her husband cajoled her to help him sing a song. After the first verse, he stepped back and sat down. She finished the song by herself, resulting in a standing ovation. "Honey," he said to her, "you have to do more of this. You just come alive when you sing." I heard after a few years that she had become quite the aficionado on the karaoke circuit. Her experience at that camp unbound her and set her free. We live in a world where death rages. Peace, when granted, is often fleeting. Our world is overpopulated by stinking tombs. Can we, like Lazarus, rattle our old bones together and walk out of death's house? And as a community of those following Christ, can we strip the death clothes off of those whom God has called to life? Can these bones rise? So here's a few questions to ponder. What is the difference between hope and fantasy? Let me repeat that. What's the difference between hope and fantasy? Where is fear or cynicism holding you back from seeing life right now? Can you find glimmers of God's abundance even at the threshold of a tomb? And how can we be signs of a new life in this world so gripped by death? If those questions cause you to ponder some things and you want to share them, I'd love to see some comments on this. Would love to have you follow this podcast and maybe share it with your friends. Again, this is Doyle Burbank Williams, pastor of New Visions United Methodist Church, and you have been listening to Agents of Providence. I hope we can go and cause some good in this world this week.